The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Baba Kama has been generously sponsored in our Daf Yomi program by our good friend and patron and charter member of our Daf Yomi class, Siyahu Ashar HaKohen and his dear wife, Rina. That Be'ezrat Hashem, they will have continued Hatzlacha, Harvaha, Bechol, Ma'aseh, Yedehem, Bri'ut, health, happiness, prosperity, and much nachat from their children. May they enjoy many years of Shalom Bayit, tranquility, and peace of mind. Amen, ve'amen. Daf Kovav. Today's daf is being studied in Nishmat Marat Zekenati, Yafa Batzara, Ve'lel Nishmat Abi Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechem began Aiden Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Shlema Moshe Ben Dina. Ella Refanalo, Refot Nefesh, Refot Aguf, Refot Tokar Balaba, Vechen Yerosom Ramal Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf He Amud Bet, and we are towards the middle, starting with the words Tanya Amar Ben Azai. The last two words on the line, Tanya. We have a Braita. Amar ben Azai taught, Shalosh Shivuot Hen. There are three types of Shivuot. Actually, we're referring to now a type of Shivuot called Shivuot Ha'edut, which means if a person knows testimony for somebody, for his friend, he must testify in order to help him get his money. And if a person lies and says, no, I don't know testimony, and he really does, so then he's obligated to bring a korban hatat. For example, he swears, I don't know testimony, I don't know, I didn't see anything, I don't know anything. And then he admits that he really does. So the Torah says, he has to bring a korban hatat, that's called shivu'at ha'edut. So the Gemara explains in the name of Ben Azai that there are three scenarios that could happen. Scenario number one, hekir ba velo b'motza'a. That's what we're talking about, a case of an aveda. Lost an object, and this guy, the witness, knew. He saw information, but he didn't testify. And he saw he didn't know anything. What did he see? Hekir ba velo b'motza'a. Which means, he knew that he recognized the lost object that it belonged to somebody. For example, it belonged to the Uven, but he doesn't recognize, or he doesn't know the one that actually found it. So he knew that. He should have came to Beit Din and testified. Yes, well, I saw the lost object, you know, it was on such and such a place, but I don't know exactly the guy. But that information would have been very helpful for the person that lost the object to locate and make an investigation in the area to know exactly to try to find his object. But if he knew that information and didn't bring it to Beit Din, so then he is Hayav. Or Bimotza Beloba. Or he knew the guy that he found the guy that found the behemah, but he didn't know that the behemah or the animal that was lost, let's say, we're talking about an animal, let's say, belonged to the Uven. So in the second case, he knows the fellow, and he knows that the guy found an animal. He just doesn't know that animal actually belongs to the Uven. So it would have been helpful if he would have gave that testimony, because at least they could have went to the Uven could have went to this guy now and investigated him. Said, listen, you found an animal. Maybe it's mine. So if he holds back that information and he swears that he doesn't know anything, and he knew that information, so then also he's Chayab Hatat. Last but not least, Lo Ba Velo Memotza. Third case, which the Gemara is going to question right away, is he doesn't know the animal belongs to the Uven, and he doesn't know the guy who found it. He really basically has he doesn't know any information. So he swears, but he doesn't know anything. So the Gemara says, Lo Ba Velo Bemotza. Well, if he doesn't know any information, if he doesn't know that the animal belongs to the Uven, and he doesn't know the guy who found it, Kushta Ishtaba. So he's swearing correctly. He has no information. That's not a problem. He wants to know, Emma say ba u'motza. Third case, change it to a more obvious case where it's ba u'motza. He knows who the animal belongs to. He knows that this animal belongs to the Uven, and he knows the guy that found it. So he knows perfect information. If he would have gave this information in Beit Din, they would have been able to locate the lost object for Reuven. He didn't come forward. On the contrary, he swore that he doesn't know anything. So the deen is, that's called the Shavuot Ha'edut. He has to bring Korban Chatat. Comes the Gemara and asks, Demai Hilcheta, what was the purpose for Ben Azai to come and teach me these situations? What was the halakha that comes out of it? Was he coming to teach me a chiyuv, or was he coming to teach me a ptur? So Rab Ame Amar, Rabbi Hanina, said the name of Rabbi Hanina, Liftor, that he's coming to teach me over here, that in these cases over here, the witness actually is patur from Korban Shivuat Aidut. Ushmuel Amar Lechayuv. Shmuel says, no, indeed he's Hayav. So actually we have a machloket what he was coming to teach me, Ben Azai. Is he coming to tell me that these are cases of Chayuv Korban, or these are cases of Ptur Korban? What is it based on? Uflukta Dane Tanae. It's based on a machloket Tanaim. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Hamashbiya Ed Echad. If a person, let's say, wants one witness to come and testify that this guy owes me money, and the aide comes along and says, well, I don't know. He swore, I don't know anything about him owing you money. And then he was modeh. They say, you know what, you're right, I know that he owes you money. So the deen is patur. According to one rabbi, this guy that swore falsely, one witness he is, he's patur from Korban Shavuot Ha'edut. Why? Because anyway, he's only one witness. So his testimony would really not make a difference anyway to Mechayev Mamon, because you need two witnesses. So therefore, the only time you may bring a Korban on Shavuot Ha'edut is if it's a type of testimony that they have two witnesses that would actually do something. But one witness can't do anything. So therefore, even if he would have came and testified, yeah, and Shimon owes Reuven money. So what? You're only one witness. So therefore, in that case, patur from Shavuot Ha'edut. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon mechayev. Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon says no. He's indeed hayav. And what's the logic over here? So the Gemara explains. B'mai kamepalge. What is the machloket over here? Mor savar davar gorem demamon kemamon dame. Umor sabar lav kemamon dame. The machloket is as follows. In this case over here, where one witness knows that Shimon owes Reuven money, and Reuven comes and says, please come testify for me, and he doesn't. So then he swears, I don't know any testimony. Then he says, well, I do. So one rabbi says, patur from a korban, because anyway it's only one witness. Now the most that one witness would be able to do is by coming to court, he cannot take money out of Shimon, it's only one witness, but he forces Shimon to make a shivuah. One witness forces Shimon now to say, I swear I don't owe money. Now it's possible that Shimon doesn't want to make a swear. So it's possible that in this case, when one witness would have come and testified, that Shimon wouldn't have wanted to swear, and then he would have to pay. So therefore, even though it's not directly going to bring to Mamon, but indirectly by one witness testifying, it can lead to Mamon. It can lead to a monetary case. So that's the machloket over here. Davar gorem lemamon. It's not directly, but it's indirectly can lead to money. So the one rabbi says davar gorem lemamon, not kemamon dame. Therefore, it's patur. Where the other rabbi comes along and says, no, since it can lead to mamon, in the case where if the guy would have came and testified, even though he's only one witness, but he could come along and testify that Shimon owes the money, Shimon now would be forced to make a swear. He wouldn't swear, maybe. Therefore, it could cause money. Similarly, in this case over here, when the witness comes along and says, well, I didn't know anything about your lost object, and he really knew information. He knew where it was, but he didn't know the guy, where he knows the guy that found an object, but it doesn't necessarily that's the guy's animal, or he knows that's the guy's animal, and he knows that that's the guy that found it. In all these cases over here, he knew testimony. So one rabbi says, if he knew testimony, swore that he didn't, indeed he's going to be hayav, because this is a good case of gorim the mamon. It's a case that can lead to monetary. How could it lead? Why isn't it direct? He knows all the information. Let's say in that case, so the chavra, it's an easy case. No, because it's not for sure that it's going to lead to money. Because the guy that found it can come along and say, "Well, I was anus, I lost it. I don't know what happened to it. Something happened to the animal, and therefore it's never going to lead to money. So it's not guaranteed going to lead to money." So therefore, we look at the Rashi. That's the way Rashi says. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Mihu mamon mamash." I'm reading a parenthesis in Rashi. "Mihu mamon mamash lo mafsido." It's not considered that he's mafsiding mamon by not coming and testifying in the case of the aveda. De'ina me ashidule. Ra'inu shematza ploni ze haya yachol loman ne'ensa memeni upoter atzmo meshevuah. Right? Which means even if in this case over here where he would come and testify about the lost object, the guy could poter himself and say, "Well, I was honest, I lost the object, I don't know where it is anymore." And therefore, it's a case of gorem lemamon. That's the way Rashi explains, which means it's gorem lemamon because, well, let's analyze it from a different standpoint. It's not a direct case of money in the sense, in the first two cases, he doesn't really know that the animal belonged to Reuven, or he doesn't even know, in the second case, who the guy is that found this animal. So therefore, it's not for certain that his information is going to lead to mamon. He's just giving vague information. "Yeah, I know that this guy found something." Or, "I know that was your animal, but I don't know who the guy is." So therefore, he's giving information that's not definitely going to lead to mamon. So it's a gorem le mamon, so that's the machloket. On something that's gorem le mamon, and you withheld the information, when you said you didn't know, and you made a shivua, and even if you would have came, it could not have necessarily led to a mamon. So therefore, in that case over there, we're going to have a machloket, if indeed you made such a shivua that you didn't know information, if indeed you're going to be chayav or not. And the third case, where actually he knew all the information, he knew who found it, and he knew who the item belonged to, so in that case over there, it's also a gorem le mamon, because he says that the guy that found it could have said, "Oh, listen, I was anus. Yeah, it was me and all that, but I don't have it anymore. The item got lost." So therefore, it's not necessarily again going to lead to mamon. In any event, that is the machloket and what Ben Azai meant. When Ben Azai said that there's three cases of shivuat ta'idut, it's machloket if he was saying the hayuv, or he was saying the ftor, and it's depending on the machloket, on a testimony that's only a gorem le mamon, if such a testimony is considered a real testimony, to be hayab, and therefore, that's the machloket if the guy has to be a korban or not. And it's based on the case of the machloket amongst Rabbi Ami, Rav Amir, and Shmuel, based on the machloket in the Braita. In any event, comes the Gemara and continues, Amar Rav Sheshat, new point, HaKofer BePikadon. Okay, you guys watching an item, and he comes along and says, "I don't have it, or I gave it to you back." He's Kofer BePikadon. Nasa Alav Gazlan. The moment that he's Kofer, that he denies that he has it, he really does have it. Even if he didn't swear, once he's kofed, he already becomes a gazlan. V'hayav be'onsin. A very important law.
A gazlan is chayav on everything. No matter what happens to the item, he has to return it or its money, even if an ones happened to it. Because now already he's not considered a shomer anymore. Once a shomer has certain responsibilities, whether you're a shomer hanam, whether you're a shomer sachar, but a gazlan is chayav on all onsin. So therefore, Rav Sheshat's chadush is once a guy comes along and says, I don't have this item, this pikadon. He's kofer be pikadon, so the deen is immediately he is hayav now on scene. V'tana tuna, and our tana supports this because we have a braita. The braita says on the pasuk v'chi cheshba. That's talking about a person that he was a shomer, watching an item for somebody, then he denied it. He comes along and says, no, I gave it back to you. Lamadnu onesh. From here we learn that a person has an onesh if he's machrish. What's the onesh? The Torah says, v'yeshiv et gezelah, which means once a person is v'chiheshba, once already you deny, you have to return it under all circumstances, which means you hayav anonsim. So the Gemara says, azhara minayim. That's the onesh. That's what says the punishment. But where's the warning? Which means you always need two pasukim. You need a pasuk to teach me the punishment, you need a pasuk to teach me the warning. Tamud lomar, lo techachashu. Do not deny. Do not deny anything. So it's a clear love. My love. And what's the onesh that we're talking about over here? The onesh mamon. Which means the Torah is coming to tell me, v'chichesh ba, there's an onesh. What's the onesh going to be? V'yeshiv et gezerah. You have to return under all circumstances. Onesh mamon. You have a monetary punishment there. You have to pay back, no matter what happens to it. Even without a shivua, because the pasuk just says v'chichesh ba. So you see what? You have an azhara, you have an onesh. You teach me the bat. Now once a person denies it, he becomes a gazlan. Kibara says, lo, no, you have no ra'aya that when it says v'chichesh ba, that it's talking about where he just denied it. And that's coming to tell me, le'onesh shivua, which means, maybe it's talking about only because he made a shivua, and then he's hayav an onsin. But if he's just kofir, maybe not. So how do you know just kefira enough makes him a gazlan? Maybe Dafka the pasuk is talking about we have kefira coupled with a shivua. Gemara's hamediktani sefa the ishteba. The fact that Braita sefa, the second case in the Braita, talks about a case where the guy swore mechlal deresha de lo ishteba. Must be the resha is talking about where he didn't swear. Diktani sefa, it says the end of the Braita vinish ba al sheker. Oh, my person, let's say he denied that he has the pikadon and he swore falsely. Lamadnu onish. So we learned the onish that what? That when a person swears falsely, so he has to pay keren and homesh, and has to bring korban asham. Azara minayin. How do we know the warning pasuk for this? Tamud amar lo teshakeru. The Torah says a person cannot lie. A person does lie in a shivua, so he has to bring all those things, korban, and he has to bring keren and homesh. Umidesefa de ishteba, resha de lo ishteba. Oh, so from the fact that the Sefa's case is talking about where he swore, must be the Resha is talking about where he didn't swear. Where he didn't swear. And the Torah is telling me V'chichesh. And V'chichesh teaches me why this is going to be Hayav as a Gazlan immediately. Amre, no, Idi V'idi D'Ishteba. I can tell you both the Resha and both the Sefa are talking about where the Shomer made a Shivua. And only where you made a Shivua, that's when you're going to be Hayav on Onsi. Kan shehoda, kan shebau edim, which means in the sefa, it's talking about where he swore, and what he swore. I don't have this item, and then he was modeh. The deen is when you're modeh, then you have to bring korban asham, and you have to have keren v'chomesh. Kan and the resha talking about where he swore, shebau edim. But then after he swore, witnesses showed up and said, what do you mean you have the item? So he was, atu edim, haya be'onsim. So therefore, when witnesses come along, so therefore, with his kefira, plus, again, he swore, now witnesses came along and said no, he does have it. So therefore, that's when he becomes a gazlan, and if it's hayav be'onsin, oduye ode. But if he's mode himself, hayav be'kerem ve'homesh ve'asham. She's both cases are talking about he swore he doesn't have the item. But again, in the Resha is talking about witnesses came. Oh, in the case where witnesses came, so then the deen is he has a deen of a gazlan, he's hayab be'onsin at that point. The Seva is talking about he swore he doesn't have it, and then he himself admitted. Oh, the Torah says when he himself admits, then he has to be keren, the homesh, the asham. So you have no ra'ayah from the blaita for Rav Sheshat. Because again, the brightest cases are talking about dafka b'shivu'ah. One case is talking about shivu'ah v'harkach ba'u'idim, and one case is talking about shivu'ah v'harkach hoda. So comes Gemara and has a question on Rav Sheshat. Mativ Rami Bar Hamma. Rabbi Bar Hamma brings a question from a Mishnah. We're talking about people that, let's say, are suspected that they lie, and that they're suspected that they're going to make a shivu'at sheker. Because normally a guy says, the toveya tells his friend, make a shivu'at that you don't owe me the money. But there's certain people that he doesn't trust. Normally the person that is getting the claim, he has to make the shivu'at, the nitva, he has to make a shivu'at, I don't owe you the money. And once he makes a shivu'at, he's off the hook. But certain times, the toveya, the guy that has the claim, he doesn't trust the guy to make a shivu'ah. So it says, v'shekenigdo hashud ala shivu'ah. Ketzad, what are certain cases that the nitba, the guy that's being claimed, is considered hashud ala shivu'ah? And in that case over there, when the nitba is hashud, then the toveya makes the shivu'ah. Then he swears, you owe me the money, and he gets the money. Normally, the nitba swears, I swear I don't owe you the money. But sometimes that nitba is hashud on the shivu'ah, we don't trust him. What's the case is, ehad shivu'ah ta'edut, which means, whether this guy, once before, he swore that he didn't know testimony for edut, and really he did. So that's considered raised hashud al shivu'ah. The had shivu'ah to pekadon. Or the case is talking about where he was a shomer and he swore that he gave it back, and then he was more that he was really lying. The afilu shivu'ah shav, which means even if he did stam shivu'ah, nothing to do with money, not a monetary case like the first two cases. Stam, he's hashud al shivu'ah that he just made a swear falsely. So in all these cases, the deen is that instead of the nitba making the shivu'ah, the toveya makes the shivu'ah. So Gemara says, ve'im ita. And if you're going to tell me that the Rav Sheshat is right, that once a person is kofir b'pikadon, already becomes a gazlan at that point, b'kfira u'd'ifsile, which means already the guy's hashud at the time of the kfira. What do you have to tell me that he's only hashud when he makes a shivu'ah? If according to Rav Sheshat that he has a deen of a gazlan already at the time of the kfira, just when he says, I don't have it, so then already he's hashud at that point. And a gazlan is hashud to make a shivu'ah, which means the nitba should not be allowed to make a shivu'ah, not only in a case where he's hashud on false shivu'ot, like we gave the three cases, but even if he was kofir on a pikadon, like Rav Sheshat calls him a gazlan at that point, so even at the time of a kefira, he should be hashud to make a shivu'ah, and therefore the toveya should make the shivu'ah instead. Why does the Mishnah only say where the guy actually swore, Chaurah, he should be hashud on a shivu'ah even if he was just kofir? Emunah says, Amre, Achabim Ayaskinan. That case is talking about Dekai Be'agam, where he really is a shomer, and the animal that is being shomer, let's say, is not buying. It roamed away next to the swamps. Delav kefirahu. In that case over there, if a guy just says, I don't have it, that's not considered really a kefirah. What do you mean? He says, I don't have it, but he does have it. No, he's stalling for time. The savar, ishtamitna le adazilna umaitina le. Let me stall time and say, I don't have it until I'm able to go to the swamp and bring it back to him. So therefore, that's not really considered a kefirah of gazlanut. Because again, the guy was a shomer, he has the animal, but the animal roamed away. So the guy says, where's my animal? He says, I don't have it. He really has it. He's just stalling for time so he can go to the swamp and bring it back to the guy. That's not considered the case of a real kefirah unless he actually swears falsely. So we have no doubt. Yeah, really, I could tell you a regular kufir when it's by him. Say it's by you. So otherwise, why are you being kufir that you don't have it? Yalla must be the Rav Shesha says you're a gazlan at that point. Then already be pasul. However, in this case over here in the Mishnah, we're talking about where the animal is not by him, it's by the swamp. So if I can interpret the guy's kefirah is just really to stall time in order to get it, to bring it back. So therefore he's not going to be considered pasul only if he actually made a shivua. Teda, damar av idi bar avin, ha-kofir b'milveh kasher le'aidut. Right, the guy borrowed money, right? And the milveh comes along and says, hey, give me my money. He comes along and says, I don't have it. He's kofir. So it says, he's kofir b'milveh. And then witnesses themselves come along and say, what do you mean? You do owe the money. So he was proven wrong. He was kofir. And witnesses came along and showed him wrong that he does owe the money. Kasher la'edut. This guy, even though he's kofir, he's kasher la'edut. He's kosher to testify on monetary cases. Because, again, we can explain, the guy, the reason why he's kufir, because he didn't have the money. So he was a stalling tag. No, I don't owe it to you. He was stalling until he actually gets the money. Bepikadon, pasul la'idut. However, bepikadon, if he's kufir bepikadon, so then already he is pasul la'idut. Because again, when it comes to the money, when he borrowed money, money he spent. So the money's not here. So he doesn't have the money to pay back. So therefore he just kofir in the interim to buy time until he can get some money to pay back. But Sheikh and the Pikadon, Pikadon he has in front of him. So what are you kofir? Oh, so you kofir and Pikadon. So therefore the deen is going to be Pasud Le'edut. So that would be like Rav Sheshat. So therefore Rav Sheshat says, I'm supported. In a Malveh case, the reason why you're not Pasul Le'edut, because Malveh Le'otza'an Nitna. You spent it. So therefore the guy was kofir, I don't have it. You could say he's stalling for time. Mashi'enke by Pikadon, where it's by him, once you're kofir, you're Pasul Le'edut, because at that point you are indeed a Gazlan. So, and that's the Chiluk of Rav Sheshat, and therefore Rav Sheshat is supported. That what? That when a person is kofir in a pikadon, even if he did not make a shivua, immediately at that point he has a deen of a gazlan. Ha'amar ilfa. What do you mean? Ilfa tot shivua kona. Which means, it's the shivua. When a person swears, I don't have the item, then he's kone the pikadon to be chayavan onsin. Shivua hu dekanya. Aval kefira lo kanya. Yeah, only a shivua is kone, but not kefira alone. Question on Rav Sheshat. Hachename. I'll explain to you again. Tekaima be'agam. That which Ilfa was saying again is to learn when the animal is in the swamp. So then only when he makes a shivua is he going to be considered a gazlan. But a kefira is not in such a case, because we say he's doing it only to stall till he gets to the agam and finds the animal to return it. But indeed, if the animal was in his possession and he made a kefira, in a chenameh, he's a gazlan on the spot, is hayav and onsin. The case of Ilfa, it's only shivua where he swore that he doesn't have it. That's only because we're talking about ba'agam. So when it's an agam, if he just kofir, we say, hey, temporarily he's being kofir because he wants to buy time. What does it mean when Ilfa said shivuas kona, that a person swears that he doesn't have the pikadon, at that point he becomes a gazanis kona? Kederav huna, it's following Rav Huna. Damarav huna, marav, maneli biyadecha. A guy comes along and says, give me my money. Da'ala omer, endecha biyadi. And another guy comes along and says, I don't have anything. Finish ba, and he swears ba. Hagak ba, where Edim and the witnesses come along and show him that he indeed has it. Patur. Oh, indeed he's going to be patur from paying. Betin cannot take the money out of Shnei Emar, ve'lakach be'alav, ve'lo yishalem. Which means, the owner takes a shivua, which means, that's what he can take. The owner who's claiming that he's owed money, or he's owed a pikadon, he takes a shivua, meaning he forces the guy to make a shivua. Once the owners receive the Shivua, meaning the Nitba, or the Shomer, made a Shivua, Shuv en Mishalem Mamon. Again, Velaka Be'alav, the guy that's claiming takes a Shivua, he forces the guy to make a Shivua, he swore, Lo Yishalem. Therefore, he did not have to pay Mamon. Even if witnesses come along after and say, what do you mean you owe the money? Doesn't matter. Once the guy swears he doesn't owe it, he doesn't have it, even if witnesses come along and say he does have it, doesn't matter. Which means once they swear, Beit Din cannot force the money out. Even if witnesses come along and claim that he does have it. Oh, so that's what Ilfa meant. When Ilfa said Shivu'a Kone or Shivu'a Kona, he meant to say that when a person is claimed money and he swears, so that already he's Kone. Even if witnesses are going to show up again, he is Kone the item, meaning he does not have to return. Beti cannot take the item away from him. But Ilfa will be more there to Rav Sheshat. That person's kofir with pekadon without a shivua. So he's a gazlan at that point if witnesses come along. So therefore, there's two cases. Once a person makes a shivua, I don't own it, I don't have it, I gave it to you back, he swore. Even if witnesses come along and says, finish, this guy swore, he's off the hook according to the Torah. But I can't be anav. Listen, he swore to you. I don't give witnesses come along. Lo Yishalem, he does not have to pay. Ilfa will agree about that Rav Sheshat, and if a guy was just kofir bepikadun, I don't have it. And then witnesses show up, okay, he wasn't willing to swear, he just was kofir, I don't have it, then indeed, he becomes a gazlan at that point, and he's going to be hayav on scene. Gufa Amarav Huna Amarav. So now we go back to the subject that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav. Guy says, Mane li biyadecha. We just said this case. You owe me money. The halal omer en decha biyadi klum. I have nothing. Vinish ba. He swore ubau edim, and the witnesses showed up. They said, "What do you mean you don't have anything? You have it." Patur. So we said in that case over there, the guy that swore is patur from paying. Beit din cannot take the money out of him. Shene emar venakar be'alav velo yishalem. The guy that has the claim takes, what does he take? He takes a shivua, meaning he forces a shivua, and that's it. Shuv en mishalmim mamon. Amar Rava says, Mistabra milta de Rav bimilve. Makes sense to explain Rav's deen in talking about where the claim is a monetary claim. You owe me money. Delotza'a nitna. Which means all the guy owes is money. The money he spent already. He doesn't have the money, he spent it. When you get a loan, the purpose of the loan is to spend it. So all the discussion over here is a chov, which means an obligation. And that's what the Torah comes along and says, that once he makes a shivua, lo yishalim. Then he doesn't have to pay. He swore, I don't owe it to you. Avat pikadon. But if, let's say, the shomer has a pikadon, he has a collateral, something he's watching for somebody, that item, no matter where it is, it always stands in the possession of the original owner. And therefore, if he swears, I don't have it, doesn't matter. Once witnesses come along and say, no, he does have it, so in that case over there, he is indeed going to have to pay it back. He's going to have to compensate. Which means, lo yishalem, I'll say, is not going on objects. Lo yishalem is going on only monetary. Which means, lo yishalem sounds like a monetary item. You spent the item, you don't have to pay, you don't have to compensate. But if the item is there, it's a pikadon, that's something that's supposed to be there, and witnesses come along and say you still have it, so then already, he has to indeed make good. So that's the chiluk that Rava wanted to say. However, the Elohim, Rava said, it sounds like we can make this chiluk, but the Elohim, I swear, Amar Rav afilu bepikadon, even if in the case of a pikadon, the hi ketiv kera bepikadon ketiv, this pasuk of velakar be'alav lo yishalem is talking about a pikadon as well, and therefore even a pikadon, a guy was a shomer, and he comes along and says, I gave it to you back, I swear I gave it to you back. And then witnesses come along and say, no you didn't, doesn't matter. Once the guy swore, he does not even have to pay back even the pekado, not only milve. Yativ Rav Nachman v'ka'amah le'ha'ashmachta. Rav Nachman was sitting and he said over this din of Rav, that once already the nitba, the guy that's getting claimed, makes a shivua, finished. Even if witnesses show up, you don't take the money out from him. So they asked the question to Rav Nachman from a Mishnah. Guy comes along and says, hey, where's the pikadon I gave you? Amalo Abad. He comes along and says, well, it got lost. Shumer Hanam, Aveda is Patur. Mashbi'acha Ani. Guy says, oh yeah, swear. I am making you swear that it got lost. Amar Amen. And the guy said, yes, Amen, I swear. Ve'aidim, me'aidim, oto she'achalo. Oh. And then witnesses come along and show that he actually ate it himself. He actually took it himself. So it says, Meshalem et keren. So in this case, he has to pay keren. Well, he doesn't have to pay keren v'chomesh, because only in the case where the guy admits on himself. Admits. This case didn't admit. The witnesses came along, so he has to pay keren. Hodam me'atzmo. But again, after he lied, that I don't have it, I got lost, and then he was more there than Mishalem, Kerem, Vehomesh, Vehasham. But what do you see? We have a question over here that from the first case of this Mishnah, you see that what? That even if the guy swore, I don't have it, got lost, and then witnesses come along, you see, still Chayav to compensate. That's a question against Rav. Amar le Rav Nachman, Rav, I have no question on that. What are we talking about? Kegon denishba chutz lebetin. Oh, which means this case over here in the Mishnah that we just quoted is talking about where it really wasn't a shivua. He swore outside of betin, and therefore that which Rav said, that once you swear, you don't have to pay anybody when witnesses come. That's the way you dafka swear, a legitimate swear in a betin. But a shivua that you swear outside a betin, it's not so strong in order to be mafkiya mamon. And therefore, in the case of the Mishnah that we just quoted, the shivua was really done outside a betin. That's why when the witnesses come, he has to pay. Amar le, so Rav Chabar min Yomer tells Rav Nachman, if that's the way you're learning the case where it's outside of betin, Emma Sefa, I'll bring you a question from the Sefa. A guy comes along and says, Hechan Pikdoni, hey, where's my Pikdon? Amadlo Nignav. He comes along and says, listen, it got stolen. Therefore, he's trying to protect himself. Mesbiachani, swear. The Amar Amen, and the guy says, yes, I swear. Ha'edim, Va'edim, Me'edim, Otoshu Genavo. Oh, then what happens? But the witnesses come along and prove that he himself stole it. Meshalem tashlume kefil. So then the deen is that he has to pay kefil. Which means the law is that when a person is to'en ta'anat ganav, when a shomer comes along and says it got stolen from him, and he himself was the ganav, and he swore, so then he has to pay kefil. He has to pay double. But if he himself was mode, after he was to'en ta'anat ganav, he claimed that it was stolen, and then he himself said, yeah, it was me, I stole it myself. Mishalem kerem v'chomesh v'asham. Oh, so then he has to pay kerem v'chomesh and asham, because it's his case of nishba, and then he was mode. V'isal kadatach chutz lebetin. If you're going to learn that this case, like you just wanted to tell me, Rav Nachman, is outside of betin, mi'ika kefil, there's no kefil outside of betin, which means the only time that a shomer has to pay kefil when he's to'en ta'anat ganav is dafka we made the shivua in betin. So therefore, Rav Nachman, you can't learn this Mishnah that it's outside of betin. It doesn't make sense. Amale yachilna leshenuye lach. Yeah, if you want, Rav Nachman says, I could tell you, resha chutz lebetin v'sefa bebetin, that the resha I was talking about, it was in betin, outside of betin, that's why he has to pay, and the sefa is talking about bebetin, that's why it's kefir, which means I have no problem, I can make a chiluk between the resha and the sefa. One is talking about chutz lebetin, one is talking about in betin. Miyu shenu yad yechika lo meshanina, but I'm not going to answer a dohak. And I'll tell you, idi v'idi bebetin. The Resha and the Sefa is talking about betin. Pela kasha. and there's no question. Kan b'shelo kafatz, which means in the first case in the Mishnah, the Toveh, the guy that had the claim, comes along and says, swear to me, mashmiachani, which means it's in Bedin, both cases. But it's not that the Nitba on his own said, I swear. The Toveh came along and says, swear to me. Before Bedin even was Mechayev the Shivua, he came along and screamed, swear to me. Oh, so in that case over there, where he caused them to swear, so then already that's not such a strong shivua. Therefore, he has to pay. He has to pay if witnesses came along after the shivua. Can, however, in the case of Rav b'shelo kafatz, that's talking about where the actual betin made him make a shivua. Oh, what actually betin makes you make a shivua? That's a strong shivua. And therefore, you do not have to pay even if witnesses come. So it comes out, according to Rav, basically two things that you need to be put patur. Number one, it needs to be in betin. And number two, it has to be that betin made him make the shivua. But if it was outside of betin, or inside of betin, and the toveya jumped the gun and said, swear to me. So in these cases over here, indeed, if witnesses come along after the Shivua, he will have to pay. But when does a Shivua poter him even after Redeem according to Rav? When it was done in Bedin, and the Bedin actually mechayev the Shivua, such a Shivua is considered a strong Shivua, that if he made it, he says, I don't have it. Even if witnesses come along after, he does not have to pay. That is the deen of the Rav. Amar le Rami bar Chama le Rav Nachman. So Rami bar Chama tells Rav Nachman, Mechdi, de Rav lo svira lach. Please listen, you don't hold of Rav anyway, which means you hold that what? Can it be they knew that Rav Nachman held against Rav from somewhere else? That you hold that once a guy makes a shivua, that I don't owe it, and then witnesses come along, you hold that he has to pay. So you don't even agree with Rav's deen. So therefore, mashkunin nafshach aderav lamalach. So what are you putting yourself out on a line to explain Rav's statements over here, to answer all the kushyot and outside of betin and all this business? You don't even hold like him. So what are you going on a limb to explain Rav? So amalel lefarushin lederav. I'm just explaining Rav. Derav hachi mitaretz la lematitin. This is the way Rav would have interpreted the Mishnah. I don't agree with him, but I'm explaining this. This is the way he could have answered the Mishnayot. The Gemara says, "Veha Rav kraka amar Rav Nachman." How could you even argue on Rav? Doesn't Rav have a pasuk? Didn't we quote above that says, "Velakach be'alav ve'lo yishalem"? That once the owner takes a shivua, meaning the nitva, the guy that has the claim against him makes a shivua, I don't have it. That's it. Lo yishalem. Rav Nachman, what do you do with this pasuk? He says, no. Kera lechol hanishba'im shebatorah nishba'im velo mishalmin hu de'ata. Which means, this is coming to teach me something else, this pasuk. That this is teaching me that who makes the shivua? The guy that owes the money. Again, kol hanishba'im shebatorah nishba'im velo mishalmin. You swear and you don't pay. Which means, it's not that you swear and get paid. It's the guy that's asking, the guy that has to pay, he swears and he doesn't pay. Ve'lakach be'alav ve'lo yishalem. Mi she'alav yishleshalem, hu nishba'a. So Rav Nachman says, I don't learn this pasuk over here like Rav learns it. I learn this pasuk to teach me a regular fundamental deen in the deen of Shivu'ah. That what? Who makes a Shivu'ah in Bet Deen? The guy that you're claiming owes the money. He's the one that swears, I swear I don't own it. And not the reverse. Not, I swear that I am owed. And therefore, that's what I learned from this pasuk. Not like Rav. Rav learned from this pasuk. No, once already he swears, lo yishalem. You don't have to pay anymore. Even if Edim come. I don't know. I said, the one that swears, and then he doesn't have to pay. Which means it's the one that's being claimed that makes the shivua. Comes the Gemara and continues to ask questions against Rav. Mativ Rav Menuna. Again, Hishpia Alav. Let's say the Toveya comes along, is Shomer Pekadon. He says, you owe me money, you owe me my Pekadon. and they forced him to swear. Hamisha pe'amim, and the guy swore five separate times. I don't know it. I swear I don't have it. Ben b'fne beddin, ben shelo b'fne beddin. Ve'chafar alav, and each time he said I don't have it, and he swore five times. Hayav al kol achat ve'achat. He's hayav to bring five korban ashams. He is indeed hayav on again. Kedin and Chomesh for each time, to bring five Korban Hashem. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon explained, Mata'am, what's the logic of here? Why is indeed Hayav on every Shavuah? The Chaura, once he makes the first Shavuah, he's Patur, finished. But you, and once you're Patur, so therefore the other Shavuot mean nothing. The only time you Hayav on a Shavuah is if you're making a Shavuah on Mammon. Once already you swore the first time, finished. You have no claims against me anymore. Not in this Beit Din and not another Beit Din. Which means the Chaura, the only time that you say that a person is Hayav on a Shavuah, and if he's Kofir on the Mammon, he's, I don't owe you the money, is talking about in the case that if he doesn't swear, then he's going to have to pay. But in this case, once he swears the first time, he's off the hook. So therefore, why does he have another shiva? Once he swears, I don't own it, he doesn't own it anymore. So it's finished. So what's the question? This is the second shivuot. I'm not obligated. Only when I make a shivuah, where if I didn't make the shivuah, I would have had to pay. But once I make the first Shavuah, I don't have to pay anymore. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon explains, Hu'il v'yachol lachzor ulhodot. Yeah, because each time he could have been modeh, which means he could have made a Shavuah, then he could have said, I owe it. And therefore it would be Hayav. So therefore, since if he would have been modeh in front of the Beit Din would have taken out the money, so therefore he still has a Chayuv Mamon. Therefore each Shavuah is considered a new Kefirah on the Mamon, and therefore he's going to be Chayav five times. So what do you see over here? That even after a person swears, after the Nidba swears, it's possible that still he's going to Chayav the money, and we don't say that what? Mishnishba Konelo. We don't say that once already he made a Shavuah, he's Konelo. Ve'acha, and over here, kafatz lo matzit amat. You can't say, it's talking about a case over here where he didn't make the shivuah from Beit Din, that the Toveya forced him to make the shivuah. Hishbiya alaf ketan, because it clearly says the Beit Din made him make the shivuah. Chutz the Beit Din lo matzit amat, and you can't tell me the case is talking about outside of Beit Din, because the B'nai Mishnah says, Beit Din, b'fnei Beit Din ketani. So therefore, all your answers you can't answer in this case over here, because it says, ben b'fnei Beit Din, ben shalom b'fnei Beit Din. So we know we're in front of Beit Din, and Beit Din made him make the shivuah. So therefore, once the guy makes the shivuah, you see over here, that what the shivuah is not kone, it's not over, because you still see what if he makes another shivuah, he's going to be hayav again. If he makes another shivuah, he's going to be hayav again. So it's different. It's against Rav. Rav's din was once you make a shivuah, finished, you don't have to pay. But you see, not like that. Who motiv lav? Who mefarek la? So Gemara says that Rav Menuna that asked the question, he answers, Litzdadim Ketani. Oh, you could learn this statement over here, Litzdadim. When it said Ben Bifne Bedin and Ben Shelo Bifne Bedin, you learn the case like this. Hishbiya alav chutz lebetin. That's one case. That's a chutz lebetin. That's why he has to pay, because it's really not a Shavuah. And Bebetin is kafatz. And the case of Betin, I can say, is talking about when it was in Betin, but the Toveya was kofetz and made the guy make a shivuah. Mashbi'achani. And therefore, it doesn't have the two ingredients. The first case is shelo b'fnei Betin, and the case of Betin is talking about where it's kafatz. And if I can split the case up, and therefore, coin it up, that's why you tell me he has to pay in this case over here. Because again, it's not a real shivuah, but if indeed it was a shivuah in Betin, by the Betin, then in Chanami, once he makes a shivuah, he will indeed be patur. So therefore, according to Rav Menuna, according to the way he understands Rav, it's mashma that once the guy makes a shivuah, he's off the hook. Now the Gemara is going to go even a step further. It's mashma that even if he made the Shiva, I don't have it. Not only if witnesses came after, but even if he himself was modeh, even if he himself said, you know what, I was lying, doesn't matter. Once he made a shivu'ah, Beti cannot take the money out. So comes again what it says, Mativ Rava Ba'al Abayit Shita'an Ta'anat Gana B'Pikadon. Guy is watching an item for somebody, Shumir Hanam. He comes along and says, I'm sorry, but the item got stolen from me. Finish ba, and he swore, Vehoda, and then what? That he was modeh, that really he had it. That he himself stole it. Ubao edim. Oh, and then witnesses showed up. Imad shelo bao edim hoda. If before the witnesses showed up, he himself was modeh. Mishalem keren v'chomesh v'asham. He has to pay. Keren v'chomesh v'asham. He swore, and then he was modeh. V'mishabao edim hoda. But if the witnesses came first, so then already mishalem tashlume kefil, then he has to pay already kefil, because that's the din of to'en ta'anat kanada. When a person claims that the item got stolen, he himself was the thief, so he has to pay, and he himself was not modeh, because if he was modeh, then it's modeh b'knas, but the witnesses came first, then he has to pay kefil. Ve'asham, and has to bring asham for the shivua. Ve'acha, oh, chutz le'betin, this case over here is talking about, it was outside of betin, ve'kafatz, sorry, ve'acha chutz le'betin, ve'kafatz to matzit amat, kefil ketani. You cannot learn that this case is talking about outside of betin, or a case of kafatz, we're talking about a case of kefil, and kefil can only be administered in betin, where the betin made a maker of shivua. And what do you see over here? That even if, once a person makes a shivua, even after he's modeh, he still has to pay. So if it's a question on Rav, because Rav, it's mashma that once you make a shivua, I don't own it. Even if he's modeh in the end, it's mashma that Rav Menachem is learning, that's it, he's patur, you swore already. Once you swore, lo yishalem. Even in the case where he's modeh. So what do you mean? You see a case where he's modeh, and he has to pay. So Gibra says, no. Ela, we have to learn Rav a little differently. Which means don't go so far to learn like we learned over there, that once you make a shivua, you're going to be patur in all cases over there. Even in a case where shivua kukus, all that's a shivua kune. In all cases, don't go so far. Elama rava kol hoda. Once a person is modeh, after he swore, I don't care what, he swore, I don't have it. Then he was modeh, then he was lying. Lo shena to'en ta'anat avad. It doesn't matter if he's claiming, initially he claimed that it got lost, or he claimed, let's say, that said it got stolen. Lo amar Rav. Rav did not say his deen that he doesn't have to pay. The hakiti vehitvada. Clearly the Torah says vehitvada, that a person swears falsely and then you modeh. She cannot go against the pasuk of the Torah. The befirush pasuk of the Torah that says anybody that swears that he doesn't owe the money and then he's modeh, he has to pay kerem v'homish. I don't care if he claimed, I swear I don't have it, it got stolen. I swear I don't have it, it got lost. And then he's found out to be guilty. Then he's modeh, but then he has to pay kerem v'homish. Oh, now let's say Shumen Hanam came along and said, he swore, I don't have it, it got stolen. He's trying to not get Ubao Edim. And then witnesses showed up. Name lo amar Rav. Even in that case, when he swore, I don't have it, it got stolen. And then what? He found that he was the thief himself. Even the Rav is modeh, in that case, you have to, witnesses came along, you have to pay kefil. Why? Because Beferush, it says in the Torah as well, that what in such a case, that a person, the shomer, is trying to not ganav, and he swore he has to pay in that case as well. Oh, so what's the case that Rav said shivua is koneh? If you tell me at the end of the day that whether witnesses showed up or whether he was modeh, Rav says that he has to pay. So what did that mean when he said shivua is koneh? That once he makes a shivua, beti cannot touch him. Ki kamar. The case is talking about where the guy was to'en ta'anat avad, meaning a shomer chinam was to'en, listen, I don't have the item got lost, v'nishba v'loda ubao edim, and witnesses came along and said, no, you have it. In that case over there, that's when Rav said that shivua is koneh, that you cannot make the guy pay anymore. which means all the cases that we learned above, we don't have to, there's no questions. In the case of, for example, Hishbiya alav hamisha pa'amim, you don't have to say was talking about outside of Bet Din and all these cases over here. Which means we could say simply that while all the cases were done by the regular Dayanim, and the reason why he has to pay five times is because a regular case, when a person makes a shivua and he says the item got stolen or whatever it may be like that, so therefore he has to pay. Rav only said his deen in a case where a guy's to'en ta'anat avad. A guy comes along and says the item got lost. So in such a case over there, once he swears that the item got lost and then witnesses show up, so then already, and he didn't modeh. He wasn't modeh. When he showed up, in that case over there, Shivu'ah kanta, Shivu'ah was koneh. And therefore, again, Rab will be modeh, that any time a person is modeh, after he made a Shivu'ah, we don't say kanta lo Shivu'ah. Ela what? We motzi the mamon from him. And therefore, in the case like I told you, where he swore five times, that's why he has to pay five times, that's why he has to bring five korban hashams. Because when you swear in a case over there, you have to pay only in a case where he was to'en ta'anat avad, and he swore on it, then already, and he was not modeh, then already, and witnesses came along after, then already, he does not have to pay. Good. So comes the Gemara and goes one step further. Amar Rav Gamda. Rav Gamda says, Ve'amra l'shmata kamed Rav Asher. Rav Gamda went and he said this halacha, this thing that Rava said. That what? That Rav explained, that Rava explained Rav, that when he said Shivu'a koneh, that's only talking about in a case where, or actually, the way Rav explained it is Rav did not say his deen in the case where he's modeh. Right? That was Rava. Kol hoda lo shena. That's what we just learned. That once he's modeh, which the guy makes a shivu'ah, and then he's modeh, Rava came along and said, "Now once you're modeh, you chayav." Rav never talked about that case over there. Also, as Rav gave the Rav to come to Rav Asher, so he told us, "Din of Rava in front of Rav Asher." Amar le, hashta, umar Rav Menuna talmidei de Rav. Rav Menuna was a student of Rav. Viyada de Amar Rav Hoda. And he knew that Rav was saying his deen even in a case where he was modeh. Bekamotiv oda. That's why he brought a question from a Mishnah that was mashma, a question on it. Ve'at amat hoda lo amar Rav. Which means, how could you go against the students of Rav? Which means, Rav Amin Rav was a Tamid of Rav. And obviously he understood that Rav said his deen even in a case of hoda. That's why he brought a question, and that's why he had to answer the case, but that was outside of Bet Din, wasn't Bet Din making him make the Shivua. And you're not a student, and you're going to come along and say that Rav was talking about, not in the case of Hoda. If the student understood him in Hoda, and that's why he brought a contradiction, so who are you to come along and say that, you know, what are you coming along and saying about that? Kol lo Hoda, lo ka'amar. Which means, if Rav Menuna asked a question from a Mishnah, which means, in the case where, let's say, the guy swore five times, so he asked a question from that case over there, because he was understanding that Rav holds what? That once you're modeh, you're patur. So therefore Rav Menuna had a question. So then why you have a hayah five times? Once you made this first shivuah, you're patur. So therefore, you're going to come along and learn Rav differently than his own student? Amale Rav HaSavad Rav Asher says, no, Rav Menuna Haki Kakashele. No, Rav Menuna's question against Rav was different. He was saying like this, Hi Amar Bishlama, Nishba Ki Atu Edim Mihayev. If you tell me that what? That if a person makes a Shivuah, he's kofir b'mon, he makes a shivua, and then when witnesses come along after and say he's hayav, that really Beit Din will take the money out. So that's why it would be mechayev the guy shivua five times and a korban asham and all that. Al each shivua hoil v'yachol lachzor ulhodot. Because if the deen is that what we're going to be motzi mamon from the guy that made a shivua, if the witnesses came after. After the shivua, he still has a chayuv mamon like before. Ela, what you just need witnesses to come and prove it. So therefore, a shivua that comes after a shivua, that's a shivua of kefirat mamon. And therefore, we understand the Mishnah why he's saying that he's chayav on each shivua v'shivua. Why? Because which means that since it's incumbent upon him to be modeh. So therefore, when he's not modeh, and he's mamshich to be kofir, and he's chozer v'nishba, so therefore it's like he's making a shivua on a new kefira, and therefore he's mihayab. Elai amar, but if you're going to say, ki atu edim patur, that when witnesses come along, after the guy swore he's going to be patur, like Rav wanted to say, that what shivua koneh, That Beit Din cannot take the money out even if witnesses show up. Again, he wasn't asking on the case of kefira. He was asking Ligabe the case of witnesses showing up. Really, Rav Menuna knew the deen of kefira, that I've never said the deen by kefira. He only said it by... by hoda. Rav never said the deen by hoda. In Echanam, if he was modeh, after he made a shivua, in Echanam is going to be chayav. Rav only said his deen that what? That if you make a shivua, even if witnesses don't show up, and then witnesses show up, you're going to be patur. To that, Rav Menuna said, then why are you going to be chayav shivua five times? If you want to tell me that when witnesses show up, you're going to be chayav, so therefore, witnesses show up, so therefore you have to be modeh. And there, you should have been more there then, because if witnesses show up, you're going to be hayav. So every time he makes a shivua, he's hayav on a new mamon. However, elai amar, but if you're going to tell me ki atu edim patur, that when witnesses come along and say, when witnesses show up after the shivua, you indeed patur, mi ika miidi di idu atis sadeu mastebe patur. You tell me if witnesses would show up, you're going to be patur. Vanan niku nihaybe korban shivua. We're going to make the guy, if he makes a shivua, he's going to be hayav. He's patur already. Who ilvi yachol achzuv elodo, because he's hayav. You're going to tell me that he could be yachol lachzor l'hodot hashtamia lo odeh. Right now he was not modeh, which means basically what the Gemara is saying is Rav HaMenuna knew originally that Rav never meant his deen by a case where the guy made a shivua and then it was modeh. Once the guy makes a shivua and he's modeh, of course the Torah comes along and says v'tfada, and therefore you have to pay kirin v'homesh and whatever the deen is. Rav only said his deen that shivua's koneh only legabe, that if witnesses show up after, so then already he does not have to pay modeh, which means he makes a shivua v'agabau edim. And the question that he had from the case of the five shivuot was a different question. Just let's conclude this Gemara that we're involved in. Basically, we have a statement of Rav. Rav made a statement and said, when a person makes a shivua and then he is kofir, he made a shivua that he doesn't owe anything, and then he's modeh. So the way at least Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was a student of Rav HaMenuna, the way he understood Rav was to say that even if he's modeh, once he makes a shivua, so then he does not have to pay anymore. Which is, once the guy makes a shivua, even if he's modeh in the end, it sounded like that's the way Rav HaMenuna understood Rav to say, that's it, he doesn't have to pay because he made a shivua. To that, Rabbi Menuna said, can't be, because he had a question from a Mishnah. Mishnah said, if a person makes a shivua five times, he has to pay all five times. And the language of the Ibraita was, because since he could be modeh in between each one, and if he would be modeh, he would be hayav to pay. So even if he was not modeh, but it's considered like he's modeh, because he has the potential to be modeh, therefore he has to pay five times. So you see what? That when you're modeh, even after a shivua, you pay. Oh, so that was the question that Rav Menuna asked on himself from Mishnah. So he said, no, that Mishnah is not problematic.
When did Rav say that if you're modeh, that you don't have to pay after you made a shivua, when it was done in Beit Din, and the Beit Din was mechayev the shivua? That's a powerful shivua. That makes such a shivua, even if he's modeh after, doesn't matter. He's off the hook, he doesn't have to pay. Oh, that Mishnah, that either was talking chutz le Beit Din, or in Beit Din, but Beit Din didn't make the shivua, the toveya, the one that had the claim, said, I force you to swear. So such a shivua is not so strong, and therefore he has to pay even if he was modeh subsequently. The Gemara then rejected that. It's an impossible. The Torah says that if a person makes a shivua and then is modeh, vitvada, you have to pay. Nothing to talk about. You have to pay when you're being modeh after a shivua. You cannot say that just because you made a shivua in Beit Din, in front of Beit Din and all that, that you're going to be off the hook if you were modeh. So therefore, the Gemara says, Gemara has to accept that. So the Gemara says, Rava's interpretation, and give you his words again, kol hoda lo shena. Once a person is modeh, it doesn't matter what his claim was. Once he makes a shivua, whether he read a shivua in Toen Ta'anat Avad, meaning he says, I don't have it anymore, the pikadon you gave me was lost. Or he says, the pikadon you gave me was stolen. And he swears to that fact, and then he makes a hodah, and he admits that he was lying, he has to pay. He has to pay Kenim V'chomesh, or let's say he was Toen Ta'anat Ganav, he claimed that it was stolen, then he would have to pay Kefil. These are all the cases Rav said you have to pay. Also, what cases is Rav saying when you make a shivua you don't have to pay? That's only in one specific case of Tu'en Ta'anat Avad Vinishba. He claimed, I don't know where your pikadon is, it got lost. And where it is, I'm a shomer hanam, I'm off the hook. I swear to that fact. And then what? Ve'lo hoda, he did not confess, he did not admit. Witnesses showed up and contradicted him in that one specific case. Get it clear? Toen Ta'anat Avad Vehoda Ubau Edim. That's the one case. So we took Rav's whole deen over there of Toen Ta'anat Avad Vehakach Bau Edim to one specific case that the Torah doesn't mention. Because all the other cases with Yehoda or Bau Edim, he has to pay. In one case, Toen Ta'anat Avad Vehoda Ubau Edim. Good. That's the way Rav said. So comes the Gemara and said that Rav Gamda went and told over Rava's interpretation to Rav Asher. So Rav Gamda went to Rav Asher, but she couldn't accept it. Rav Asher said like this, I understand Rav Menuna, who was a student of Rava, that knew Rava, and he understood, I'm sorry, I was a student of Rav, and he understood Rav to mean, even in the case of Hoda, he's patur. That's why Rav Menuna asked from the Mishnah against Rav. Because he understood Rav that even in a case where he was Nishba, and then he was Modeh, that he's going to be patur. That's why Rav Menuna, the student of Rav, asked from the Mishnah over there, by the guy swearing five times. Because the Mishnah said over there, you swear five times, you have to pay five times. Because why? Because be each time in between, if he would be Modeh, he would have to pay. So you see that Hoda pays. So therefore, Rav Asher says, I don't understand you, Rabbah. You are not a student of Rav. And you're learning Rav different than Rav Menuna. The way his language was, Hashta Umar Rav Menuna Talmide de Rav. He was a student of Rav. Yada de Amar Rav Hoda. He knew that Rav said it didn't even buy Hoda. The Kamotiv Hoda, and he asked a question from the Mishnah. And you're saying he didn't learn Hoda, that Rav agrees that if you were modeh, you don't pay. I'm sorry, if you're modeh, you pay. You're not better than the student. So to that, the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood Rav Menuna's question. Rav Menuna really holds that in the case of Hoda, he has to pay. Mishbav, even Rav Menuna agrees. He was asking on something else that Rav said. Rav made a statement that says, Nishba, ve'harkach ba'u edim, and then edim came, so you're going to be, patur, doesn't have to pay. Oh, so to that, he came along and said like this, I amat bishlama, now I'm reading from the first line on the Amud Bet, I amat bishlama, Nishba, if you're going to say that after he makes a swear the first time, ki atu edim mehayiv, that if witnesses would come along now and say that no, he is edim hayav, and you'd say that what? That really the edim are mehayiv, would be mehayiv him to pay money.
So then already it's still viable, even if the Shivua al Yedir Edim to take out money. That's why Mehaybin and the Korban of Shivua, but right, that's why you have to bring a Korban even for the last Shivua. And then we cannot protect him. Why? Because since there's still a way he's going to be Hayab, he still is obligated to be Modeh. Because if witnesses come, he's going to be Hayab. So therefore, each Shivua is considered a Shivua and Mamon. Because there's still a Mamon involved. Because if the witnesses come, he'd be Hayab. But if you're going to say, Ki atu edim patur, oh, if you're going to say like Rav's din, that a person makes a Shivua, and then edim come along that he's patur, mi'ika midi, is there a thing? The ilu ate sadeh um sadeh be patur. That if witnesses would come, he'd be patur. The anna nikuv in a haybek korban a shivua, who il be yachol la'azor ulodot, are we going to mandate a shivua and payment? Because since he has a potential to be modeh, hashtam yalo odeh. Right now he wasn't modeh. And therefore the second shivua that he made is not even on the money, which means if Edim come, like Rab says, there's no money, there's no payment. So therefore the shivua is potated. So he makes another shivua. Ain shivua, halal shivua. The two shivua are not going to be hal. If you hold not like Rav, that Edim come, Yahayab, so the each Shivua that he makes is a viable Shivua. That's why he has to bring another Korban Hashem. That's why he has to make another payment. Because still there's still Mamonot involved. Because if Edim would come, he'd be Hayab. So therefore, he has to pay. But according to Rav, that said, Bauer Edim Yipatur, so finished. Once he makes the first Shivua, he's off the hook, even if Edim come. So therefore, he's not going to be Hayab until he actually is Modeh. He wasn't Modeh. And therefore the second Shavua is nothing. Because nobody could force him. Even if witnesses come, he's patur. That was his question. Which means really Rav Menuna knew that Rav holds if a guy was Modeh in actuality, he is indeed patur. But he was just asking a case where a guy swore five times. Oh, so if you hold that Edim that come after your patur like Rav's Deen, so therefore, why should he be Hayah five times for a Shavua? Once he makes the first Shavua, he is indeed patur, unless he actually is Modeh. But until he is Modeh, he's not going to be Hayav. But if you say that Edim come along can make him Hayav, so therefore technically there's still a Mamon Shebo. Therefore every time he makes a Shivua, it's as if we assume that there's still Mamon because the Edim can be Mehayavim. So therefore that Mishnah makes sense. That was the question that he asked on him. And that is the end of the sugya. So therefore, the Ma'aseh, Rab made his deen, the Ma'aseh really in one case according to Rava, that's the way we're understanding it, To'en, Ta'anat, Avad, Ve'aharkach, Ba'u Edim, and Ve'lo Hoda, Ba'u Edim, indeed he's going to be patur. But in any case of Hoda'a, indeed he's going to be Hayav. And Rabbi Manav's question was from the Edim situation. That when Rav said Edim, so he asked the question from those guys. That's why Rabbi Manav had to learn those cases like he did. It's talking about where it's outside of Betin, where he made the Shivua, and things like that, where such a Shivua is not so strong.
Continue. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yohanan HaTor'en Ta'anat Ganav BePikadon. A person has a pikadon. He's watching something. The guy comes along and says, "Where's my pikadon?" He comes along and says, "It got stolen." So he's to'en ta'anat ganav bepikadon, and really he himself stole it. So deen is witnesses came along and proved that he really actually stole it himself. Meshalem tashlume kefil. So then the deen is he's like a regular ganav. Just like a regular ganav has to pay kefil, so to'en ta'anat ganav, person claims that the pikadon got stolen, he also has to pay kefil. Tabach umachar, if let's say the shomer was toveyah, either he slaughtered the animal subsequently, or he sold it, so the din is mishalim tashlume arba'a v'hamisha. So the din is he has to pay four or five. How do we know that? Hoil beganav mishalem tashlume kefil, to'en ta'anat ganav mishalem tashlume kefil, ma ganav shehu mishalem tashlume kefil, tabach umachar mishalem tashlume arba v'hamisha, av to'en ta'anat ganav bepikadon, kishehu mishalem tashlume kefil, tabach umachar mishalem tashlume arba v'hamisha. The Gemara makes a mamatzinu. The Gemara says, just like a regular ganav, that what, if he steals something, he pays kefil, so too, and if he would slaughter it or sell it, he pays arba v'hamisha, so too, to'en ta'anat ganav. Since when he claims genevan, he gets caught, he pays kefil, so similarly,
We see this kefil. Similarly, if he would slaughter it or sell it, it would be arba'a v'chamisha, which means the din of Turin ta'anat ganav can be learned from the regular case of ganav. Just like regular ganav pays kefil and arba'a v'chamisha, so to Turin ta'anat ganav pays kefil and arba'a v'chamisha. We can learn it from Imam Atzinu. So Kibra says, no, it's really not analogous. Ma l'ganav sheken shalim tashlume kefil shelo b'shbu'a. טוען טענת גתומר וטוען טענת גנב שאין משלם תשלום הכפל אלא בשבועה. גברה זה לא, you cannot learn from מה מצינו. Why? Because גנב is more חמור. Why? Because גנב pays כפל even without a שבועה. Which means he doesn't have to make a שבועה to pay כפל. Once he gets caught that he actually stole, so right away has to pay כפל. However, when it comes to a שומר, a shomer only pays kefil when he made a shivu'ah. He has to swear that it got stolen. So therefore, could be only a ganav that's hamur that pays kefil even without a shivu'ah. That's why it is arba b'hamisha. But who said maybe to'en ta'anat ganav that only has kefil with a shivu'ah, maybe you don't have the din of arba b'hamisha. Therefore, you cannot learn one from the other. They're not analogous. Ganav is mohamud. Ganav is afilu shelo b'shvuah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Amre. What Rabbi Yochanan meant to say was, hekesha hi. Ve'en neshivim ala hekesha. Which means it's actually a hekesh. There's two pesukim that are next to each other. And one is talking about a ganav, and one is talking about to'ain ta'anat ganav. Once we have two pesukim that are next to each other, talking about different topics, so we connect the topics together and we make them the same. And therefore, since we have ganav next to Torah and ta'anat ganav in the Torah, as we'll soon see, so therefore it's called the hekesh. So therefore we say, just like by ganav there's kefil and arba v'chamisha, so to by Torah and ta'anat ganav there's kefil and arba v'chamisha. And don't tell me that they're not analogous, because the deen is when you learn something from hekesh in mishivim. You don't ask questions. Hekesh is teaches me that since the Torah juxtaposed them together, one next to each other, so therefore the deen is they're the same in their laws. Oh, Gemara says, "Hani ha neman de amar, had beganav behad betoyin tanat ganav." Shapir, "Ed ha neman de amar, hay im yimase ganav im lo yimase, tarvayu betoyin tanat ganav, ma'ika nememar." There is a pesukim in the Torah. One pesuk says, it's talking about a case of im yimaseh haganav. Talking about a person stole something. They found the ganav. And he was the he found the thief. So the thief has to pay kefir. Im yimaseh haganav, that's the regular din of kefir. But the other pesuk next to it says, im lo yimaseh haganav. If you don't find the ganav. Now, why won't you find the ganav? So the Torah says that that's talking about a case of Torah Ta'anat Ganav. The reason why he didn't find the Ganav, because he's the Ganav himself. Which means, the guy is a Shomer, he's watching an item, and he comes along and says it got stolen. So it says, Im lo yimatzeh ganav, if you can't find the Ganav, why can't you find the Ganav? Because the Shomer himself is the Ganav himself. So the witnesses come along and prove that the Shomer was the Ganav. It's not somebody else that got that stole it, it's the Shomer himself. So that's the din of Torah Ta'anat Ganav. So Im yimatzeh ganav is Ganav, and im lo yimatzeh ganav is Torah Ta'anat Ganav. So if the ones that learn like that, you have hekesh. See, the Torah juxtaposes ganav and Torah Ta'anat Ganav. So therefore I'll say, just like by ganav there's kefil and arba v'chamisha, so too by Torah Ta'anat Ganav there's kefil and arba v'chamisha. However, according to the man da'amad that says that yimatzeh ganav and lo yimatzeh, both cases are talking about Torah Ta'anat Ganav. They learn both pesukim of Tumat Torah and Tanat Ganav. So if you don't have a hekesh between Ganav and Torah and Tanat Ganav, Ma'ika Lemar, so how are you going to learn the din of Torah and Tanat Ganav that pays Arba V'chamisha from Ganav? The Torah says, Amre Ganav HaGanav. The pesuk comes along and says, Im lo yimaseh HaGanav. Torah's language is, it has an extra hair. So therefore, since the pasuk says haganav, extra hair, so from that we come and learn that what? to teach me that the Torahim Tanat Ganav has all the dinim of the Ganav itself. So therefore, either you're learning from a Hekesh, according to the opinion that says, one is talking about Ganav, one is talking about Torahim Tanat Ganav. Therefore, just like Ganav pays Arba V'Hamisha, so to Torahim Tanat Ganav, if he slaughters it and sells it. Or to the other opinion that says, no, both Pesukim are talking about Torahim Tanat Ganav. So how do I know the din of Arba V'Hamisha? From the extra here, HaGanav. Etive, Rabbi Chaya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yohanan. Oh, so Rabbi Chaya Bar Abba asks a question from a Braita against Rabbi Yohanan. Here's the case. Hechan Shuri. The guy comes along and says, hey, where's the shore that I gave you to watch? Nignav. He comes along and says, what do you want? It got stolen. That's the case of Torahim Tanat Ganav. Mashbi'acha Ani. Swear that it got stolen. Ve'amar Amen. The guy said, Amen. Yes, I swear. והעדים מעדים אותו שאחדו. Then all of a sudden, witnesses show up and they say that he actually ate it himself. He ate it, which means he ate the shore. He himself was the ganav. Mishalem tashlumei kefir. So the deen is, since he was the thief, he has to pay tashlumei kefir. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. והאחה די אפשר לכזית בשר בלא שחיטה וקטן אם משלם תשלומי כפל. תשלומי כפל אם תשלומי ארבע וחמישה, לא. אמרה says, what do you mean? You're telling me over here in this case he only pays כפל, but the Edim testified that he ate the animal, that you can't eat the animal without making שחיטה. Even if you'd only eat a כזית of the animal, you still have to make a שחיטה. Oh, so the חאורה קוטם יוחנן, this is a case of Torahim Tanat Ganav that he was Tovayah. So he should pay Arba V'Hamisha. Why does the Braita say only pay Kefir? Question against Rabbi Yohanan. Kibra says, Hacha Bema Askinan, Kegon She'achalo Nevela. Yeah, you know what the case is talking about? He didn't make a Shaita. He just killed the animal in a certain way, and he ate it to Nevela. He didn't make a Shaita that was Keshera. And that's why he doesn't pay Arba V'Hamisha. So Gevra says, good, that's a good answer. Velishani there, you could have answered a different answer. You could have said, Kegon she'achalo terefa. One, you learned the case talking about where you made a shechita, but the shechita rendered, and the animal was done, but the animal was a terefa. For example, it had a blemish in the lung, or some other blemish. Why didn't you answer like that? That the shechita was done, but the animal was rendered a terefa. So comes Gemara and says, which is, why did you have to answer that there was not a shaita done at all? That's why there's no Arba V'Hamisha. Say there was a shaita, but the animal was a terefa. So Gemara says, Kirabi Meir Dama Shaita She'ena Re'uya Shema Shaita. Because we're going according to the Bimir that says that even if the shaita did not render the animal edible, Shaita She'ena Re'uya is considered a shaita. So if he slaughtered it the right way, even though the animal became a terefa, he'd pay Arba V'Hamisha. That's what we have to learn. The case is talking about where he became a nevela. I mean, he didn't even slaughter it correctly. Oh, so Gemara says, you could have given another answer why you don't pay Arba V'Hamisha. V'leshani le'e b'ben piku'a. You could have learned the case is talking about where this animal that the guy was a shomer on, and then was torn tanat ganav, and then ate from it, maybe it didn't need shechita at all. Why? Because it was a ben pikwa. Ben pikwa is an animal that was found in its mother's womb. You slaughtered the mother. Once you slaughter the mother, so whatever is inside the mother, for example, the baby animal doesn't need shechita. It's nitar. It becomes mutar with the shechita of the mother. So therefore, maybe you learned the case. The reason why you don't pay Arba V'Hamisha is because there was no shechita bichlal over here. Because the animal we were talking about was a ben pikwa. It was the animal that was found in the mother's womb after it was slaughtered. Gemara says again, Kerabi Meir Damar Ben Pikwa Ta'on Shechita. Because this bright is going to be me that says that even a Ben Pikwa needs Shechita. So therefore, that's why you have to say the case was talking about where you actually made it, you did Nevela. But Ben Pikwa you can't answer because Ben Pikwa you would actually need a Shechita to eat it. Vereshani Le, you could have given another answer. Kegon She'amad Bedin. Which means, why don't you say the case? Ve'amru lo, tzeten lo, ve'ha amarava, tzeten lo, tabach umachar patur. My ta'ama, kevan de paskel milte, tabach umachar ave gazlan, the gazlan lo, meshalem, arba'a v'chamisha. Which means, you could have answered that the case is talking about that the shomer, after he was torn tanat ganav, they took him to bed din before he slaughtered it, and the witnesses testified that what, that the guy was a liar and he himself was the ganav, and therefore they were posek on him and they said tzitin lo, that what, you got to pay kefir because you're torn tanat ganav, and only after that he went and slaughtered it. The deen is, once there's a psak deen on him that has to pay kefir and then he slaughters it, then already he does not have a deen of a ganav anymore. Since bet deen already clearly identifies the guy as the one that stole it, so now when he's toveah, when he slaughters it, he has a deen of a gazlan now. Because now, we have a deen of a gazlan. A gazlan does not pay tashlum arba b'chamisha. Which means, normally when a guy does something in hiding, that's called ganav. But once already the betin uncovers the guy and says, you actually stole, go pay kefil, then you slaughter it, now you're not a deen of ganav anymore. Now you have a deen of a gazlan. So therefore you could have answered the cases like that, that he actually slaughtered it after the psak deen that told him, hayav atan liten no. So the Gemara says, now, if that's only in a case where they told them actually tse tenlo is where the betin actually was posek, go and pay. However, the Braita continues, hayav atad li tenlo, if betin just came along and didn't give a psaket, they just said hayav to pay the kefil, but didn't give a final psak, v'tavachu machar, and then he slaughtered it, hayav, then he still hayav to pay arba b'chamisha. Baita amar kol kama de lo psika lemilta, until they actually give a conclusive deen to say tse ten lo, akati ganav, who is still the deen of a ganav. So therefore, again, why couldn't you answer the case that's talking about the reason why you don't have to pay arba b'chamisha, because it's talking about where there was already a psak deen where the betin told him tse ten lo, now already has a deen of a gazlan. A gazlan does not pay arba b'chamisha. You could have answered that's the reason why you don't pay arba b'chamisha. So Gemara says, Amre, v'letamech, v'shani le, shutaf shetavach shelo midat havero. Which means, for that matter, Gemara says, you could have answered another answer. Why don't you answer a case without even having to go on to Bet Din, where the animal was, there were partners on this animal over here. Which means, you have a case over here that two people gave an animal to a shomer to watch. Actually, reverse. One guy gave his animal to two people to watch. So they were, again, shutafim in the shomrim. And they came along, both these guys, and they were to'en, ta'anat, ganab. And then one guy slaughtered the animal without telling his friend. Oh, so that's a case of a shutaf that slaughtered the animal without telling his friend. The deen is, they don't pay arba v'chamisha. Because the law is that you only pay arba v'chamisha, you don't pay half of arba v'chamisha. A shutaf, without telling his partner, he would have to only pay half of the arba v'chamisha. So therefore you could have given a case that the reason why the Braita says that if they slaughtered it, you only pay kefil, learn the case is talking about a shutaf, which means there were different answers that you could have answered. You didn't, we answered nevela, where you didn't actually slaughter it correctly. You could have gave another answer. You could have gave the answer we're talking about where you slaughtered it, but there was a shutaf, and the deen is that a shutafim do not pay arba v'chamisha. So the Gemara says, "Ela hada mitre utlata nakat." You're right. We can say that the Braita, or Rabbi Yochanan, when he answered the Braita, he answered it one of two or one of three ways. Meaning, you could either answer the Braita as talking about as a nevela, or you could answer the case as talking about where it was after psak din, where the betim was posek tzetenlo, or you could learn the case as talking about it was there was shutafim that don't pay arba v'chamisha. But the point is that that's an exceptional case. But regularly speaking, if a tohen ta'anat ganav pays kefil and then he's toveya, it's a regular tevicha, indeed he will have to pay arba v'chamisha. That right, that we can answer in one of three ways. Either it was a nevira, which was not a shikud shechita, either it was after psak din, where they said, se tenlo, go pay the kefil, then he slaughtered, that's the din of a gazlan now, because he's exposed, and it's not a dagai, that's a ganav. Well, the third answer is talking about where the shomrim were actually partners, and one guy slaughtered it without the da'at of his other partner, and the deen is partners, that one guy slaughters without the da'at of his partner, does not pay arba'a v'chamisha. Ve'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan ha'to'en ta'anat ganav ba'aveda. Okay, we have a new case over here, which means a guy found an aveda. He took the aveda, a lost object, with intention to return it. However, when the owner came to him and said, "Return my object," he came along and said, "I'm sorry, it got stolen." And now witnesses came along and proved that he himself was the thief. Mishalem tashlume kefil. Bait ta'amah dechtiv al kol aveda asher yomar. And the end of the pasuk says, yishalem shnayim lere'ehu. Which means the Torah's law is that not only on a shomer that was given something to watch is there a deen of Torah in Tanat Ganav, but even on a shomer aveda, that a person gets an aveda, he finds a lost object, and then he claims it got stolen, and then he gets caught by witnesses. So the deen is, he also has to mishalem tashlume kefil. He has to pay kefil. So the deen is not only by a regular shomer, to enter Tanat Ganav, but even by a shomer aveda. Etive Rabbi Abba bar Mammal Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says in the parasha that talks about a shomer chinam ki ten ish. It's talking about if a man gives something to his friend to watch. So the Gemara learns ve'en netinat katan klum, that only if an adult gives something to watch. So then you have the regular laws of shomer. However, if a katan is a katan zar ish. Torah says ki ten ish. If a katan, if a minor gives something as a pikadon to a shomer, so therefore there's no deen of shomri, which means there's no deen of the regular laws or whatever applies to a shomer. It's only if a gadol gave it to you, if an ish gave it to you. But if a katan gave it to you, it doesn't apply the laws. The only ela nitano keshehu katan utpa'o keshehu katan. I only know that what if it was given to the shomer when the guy was a katan, and then he claims it back when he's still a katan. Okay, so then already I'll tell you that the law of shomer doesn't apply. However, kishu netano, kishu katan, utpa'o kishu gadol minayin. How do I know that even if the guy gave it when he was a katan, but his claim, by the time he came to claim it back, it was a gadol? How do I know that the laws of shomrim don't apply? Tamud lomar ad Elohim yavo devar shenehem. That says, Ada Elohim, when you come to the judges, which means the fellow that gave the object brings the shomer to the judges, says, Yavo Devar Shenehim. So the Gemara's Doresh from Devar Shenehim, Ajte Nitina Utpi'a Shavim V'hadat. The giving and the claiming has to be equal. Meaning, just like at the time of the giving, he had to be a Gadol. The time of the claim also is a gadol, which means it only applies to a case where the netina was by a gadol and the tibia was by a gadol. The claim was by a gadol. However, if the time of the giving, the guy was a katan, that's not considered a giving. And therefore, let's say a katan gave an object to somebody to watch, right? And then later on he became a gadol, let's say. And he came to the bit and he said, "Hey, where's my object?" And the guy said, "Oh, it got stolen." And then he found out that he himself was the thief. No kefir. Because the deen of a shomer is only when it was given to the shomer when the guy was a gadol, and the claim also when he was still a gadol. Oh, so what do you see from over here? That again, for a case of kefir, by Torah Tanat Kanav, it has to be given by a gadol. So the Gemara says, Ve'im ita, wait, but if the Ruhanan, if you're saying that the law of Torah Ta'anat Ganav applies even by an Aveda, Teve Nameh Ka'aveda, which means by an Aveda, by a lost object, nobody gave him the item. He found it. So you don't even have a Netina at all. So you see, you don't need a Netina. By Aveda, the guy found it in the street. There was no Netina Bechlal. And still you say, what if he's Torah Ta'anat Ganav? He pays kefil. So therefore the Chavra, what do I care if the netina was given by a katan? So long as at the time that he claims it, he's a gadol, that should be already a deen of Torah Tanat Ganav, that he pay kefil. You see from the case of Aveda, you don't need a netina. Again, when the guy's walking in the street, he found a lost object. No one gave it to him. So you see, netina, giving is not necessary. So similarly, you see, Rabbi Hanan, we have a question against you, because we just learned that if a katan gives somebody something to watch, since you don't have a netina of a gadol over there, the law of Torah and Tanat Ganav does not apply. Before Rabbi Hanan, you see, you don't need a netina. If it's the case of Aveda, so the Gemara has two answers. Amar le, הכה במאי עסקינן כגון שאכלו כשהוא קטן. Oh, the case over here that we said, when you gave it to him when he was a katan, he gave it when he was a katan and then he became a gadol, is talking about with a shomer pikadon, he ate the item, or he consumed the item when the guy that gave it to him was still a katan, which means when the guy came and gave a claim, he was a gadol already, but by that time the object was not in the world anymore. So that's why the cases over there, there's no arba v'chamisha. Mashenk, in the case of the aveda, the shomer aveda had the item and he swore to enter anat ganav at the time that what? That the guy was a, the original owner was a gadol. Which means, in a chename, really, you don't need a netina by a netina bekatan is not a problem. Really, so long as the tivia, the guy's a gadol, so then already he says, where's my item, and he's a gadol, I don't care if he gave it when he's a katan. That's why I don't care aveda, nobody gave it to him. So long as he swears and says, I don't have it, it got stolen, and he's swearing to a gadol, oh, so then already he has to pay kefir. Similarly, in the case of a katan, even though, let's say, a katan gave it, so you don't have a netina begadlut, so long as the tivia is begadlut, so then already you have a din of tu'entar at ganav. But the case over there, it says, why? It's patur. It's talking about by the time the guy came and swore, the item wasn't in the world anymore. So therefore, you have a netina by a katan, and then already he consumed the item, so the item wasn't in the world. So he never even swore when the item was in the world to a gadol. So the Gemara says, "Aval kishihu gadol mai," which means, but what are you going to tell me? If let's say he ate, he consumed the item after the mafkid became a gadol, mai hachenamed the meshalev? Are you going to tell me that in chenami the shomer has to pay? Which means, are you really conceding that you don't need a netina when the guy's a gadol, so long as you swore at the time the guy was a gadol, and the item was still in the world, that's when you pay kefil. Is that so? Yache adetanya. So then, why did the Baita say achete netina utpi ashavim keahad? Litni achete achila utpi ashavim keahad. That's the case. The Baita should not have said that you need netina and tivia keahad. I mean, you don't need the guy that gave it over to be a gadol at the time of the giving. That's not the din anymore. So you shouldn't have said netina v'tivia, that it has to be a gadol at the time of the giving, at the time of the claim. It should have said that it has to be at the time of the achila and at the time of the claim, shavim kehad, which means that at the time of the claim, the object had to be around when the guy who gave it was a gadol. Which means, according to the way we're learning now, you don't need netina at all. Just like by an aveda, you don't have a netina, nobody gave it to him. So too, if he gave it to him when he was a katan, you don't care. The point is, at the time of the claim, at least the item was consumed for a moment after the giver became a gadol. So long as the item was in the possession of the shomer for a moment after the guy became a gadol, so then as long as the tivia and the achila was done begadlut, so then already that's the concern that we say you pay kefil. You don't need a netina bichlal begadlut. So long as at the time of the consumption, the guy that gave it was a gadol, that means the tivia and the achila, at the time he claimed that he was a gadol, and the achila was done when he was a gadol, so that's when you pay tashlum kefil. So why did the Braita say that? Remember that deen. Amale, you're right. Tini achete achila utpi'a shavim keahad. Correct. Learn like that. That the achila, the time that you consumed it, and the time that he claimed it, he had to be a gadol. But if it was consumed when the guy was still a katan, so the shomer never had it, or never made the claim of Torah and Tanat Ganav, when the item was in the world, when he was a gadol. He consumed it when the guy was still a katan. That's the case where you don't pay kefir. So again, according to this answer, the Gemara is answering, you don't need a netina. Which means, if the guy gave it to him when he was a katan, and then he became a gadol, so long as when he swore that it got stolen, it was in the world, it was in the world, which means at the time that he made the tibi'ah, at the time he made the claim, the guy was a gadol. And what? And at the time that the guy consumed it, it's after he was already a gadol. So long as the guy had the item for a moment in his possession, after the giver became a gadol, so then already, and the tibi'ah was done when he was a gadol, because he consumed it after the guy became a gadol. So then already we say what? He has to pay kefil. So therefore, abedah also, you don't need a netina. Therefore you pay tashlume kefil. That's one answer. The Rebbe says, davashe amar lo dameh. The Rebbe says, no. The case of when a katan gave somebody something to watch, and the case of avedah, they're not analogous. You cannot even ask a question at all from Rabbi Hanan to Rabbi Hanan. Avedah ka'atya mikowah bin da'at. Bottom line, when you found an avedah, it came from somebody that has da'at, which means the guy might not have given it to you, but it came from somebody that lost it, who was a ben da'at, he was a gadol. But here, when you became a shomer and somebody gave it to you, there it did not come from a ben da'at, it came from a katan. And therefore, which means, so long as you don't need a netina. Avedah, you don't have a netina. But it has to emanate from somebody that was a ben da'at. So therefore, again, by the case of avedah, the guy that found the avedah, he's watching the avedah for a gadol. The guy that lost the item was a gadol. That's why he has to pay kefil when he's to'en tanat ganav. Mash'ekin, the pikadon that was given by a katan, and he still has it in his hands, let's say, when he became a gadol, it did not come to his hands from a ben da'at. When it got to his hands, it was a katan. So therefore, according to that, Asher really says, if a guy became a katan, gave one a katan, and then he became a gadol, you patur. Which means he holds, not like the first answer, he holds that a katan that gave it in Echad Hamed, then he let it run, he became a gadol and he had a claim, but you patur. The reason why it's not similar to avedah, because avedah, even though there was no giving, but it came from a ben da'at. Mashenke, in this case over here, it came from a katan, so therefore there is no kefil. Which according to this answer over here, he holds indeed that a netina of a katan is nothing, even if he became a gadol. Whereas according to the first answer, you don't need a netina. Even if the netina was done by a katan, when he becomes a gadol, so long as for one moment the fellow had it in his possession when the guy was a gadol, and he claimed when he's a gadol, so then already you have to pay kefil. The second answer says no. Once it came into your hands when the guy was a katan, finished. It came from a non-ben da'at, therefore there is no kefil. Mashenken by avedah, it came, it didn't come into you, no one gave it to you, but it came from a ben da'at. Ve'amar, actually we'll stop over here. Baruch Adonai L'Olam, Amen Ve'Amen.